This edition of The Stack was first broadcast on the 4th of October 2014 on Monocle 24.
Profits in Paris or decline in Denver, clever cover pricing and directional displays, offbeat kiosks suffering slippage, or destination locations that will always attract. Maximum choice for passing trade or a curated selection for the discerning reader. We get behind the newsstand to investigate what is or isn't keeping the print industry ticking. Today on edition 110 of The Stack. This week, our second foray into the state of the newsstand on The Stack. As the magazine industry seems to emerge from the doldrums, what do the various sectors within it envision for the future? We go deep inside the mysterious world of press distribution as the industry meets to strike deals and set its course for the year ahead and beyond.
Not a single person talked about the death of print. Now we moved away from death of print to decline of print. And I can guarantee you, give it 2-3 more years, and everybody is going to talk about print, like we talk about television, like we talk about movies, like we talk about digital.
We'll be meeting some magazine distributors and publishers from around the world and asking if the future of the newsstand can be guaranteed.
It's really the art of negotiating and finding the right rate with the publisher so they will invest in you, because nothing will happen if we don't promote magazines. They just sit on a shelf. We have to try and make them come alive at retail. We have so many programs available, from signage to pockets to digital media.
We'll also speak to Monocle's editor Andrew Tuck on what publishers can do to maximize their impact at the kiosk. The campaign for better newsstands continues here on The Stack, Monocle 24's dedicated print industry review and analysis show. Hello and welcome to this 110th edition of The Stack. I'm Tyler Brûlé. On last week's show, we brought you a State of the Newsstand special on the news that Monocle's, and indeed my own local newsagent here in London, was shutting up shop forever. Green's demise is following a depressing trend on the UK high street of independent retailers falling victim to tighter margins, and real estate pressure is brought about mainly from large multiple chain stores. No sector of independent retail feels this more than the humble newsagent. But what has caused this sorry state of affairs, and how can it be changed? The publishers and distributors that ultimately feed printed products to the outlets must surely hold the answer. But how do these two sectors, in themselves very diverse, work together? Well, nowhere better to find out than at the annual Congress of DistroPress, the world's press distribution organization, which was held earlier this week on the shores of the Mediterranean in Cannes. Our David Pleasant was there and brings us this special report.
My name is Samir Hosni, and my trademark name is Mr. Magazine. I'm the director of the Magazine Innovation Center at the University of Mississippi, which is a center that exists to help amplify the future of print in a digital age. Just looking at the revenue statements of media companies, especially media companies that's pushing this digital first strategy or digital this or digital that, and then when you ask them, how much money are you making from print? And you'll be surprised when they tell you 3%, 5%, and then you ask them the second question, if print did not exist, how much money digital is bringing you? And the answer will be zero, because they are like still using all the expenses from print and thinking they are making money from digital. So digital was that seductive, beautiful mistress that all publishers fell in love with when it came to DC. We all love new things. And we ignored the 500-year tradition that we have in creating something called magazine. And now, finally, it was like what you've heard me said, and we've heard a lot of speakers. I mean, not a single person talked about the death of print. Now we moved away from death of print to decline of print. And I can guarantee you, give it 2-3 more years, and everybody is going to talk about print, like we talk about television, like we talk about movies, like we talk about digital. But we will have to discover what that digital is. It's not the same experience. Even reading the so-called magazines in digital is not the same experience as holding a copy of Monocle or holding a copy of GQ in your hand.
That was Samir Hosni, or Mr. Magazine, as he likes to be called, speaking in very positive terms about the future of the magazine here in Cannes at the 59th Annual Congress of DistroPress, the Association for the Promotion of the International Circulation of the Press. From death to decline is a move in the right direction, it must be said. but if you listen to many, you still tend to get a pretty bleak picture on the future of print. Digitisation, free sheets, and the social media have been attributed for the demise of the newsstand and that newsagent who services it. Like so much in economics, it seems that decline and subsequent drops in profit are as much to do with perception and confidence as with facts or figures. And as much as people have been told that print is dead, retailers have struggled to see demand for those print products. A self-fulfilling prophecy, it seems. But why and how has this happened? Have retailers, distributors, and publishers failed to change with the times? Or perhaps they changed, as Mr. Magazine implied, but they changed all in the wrong direction. Tony Jashanmal is the current president of DistriPress. He's also director of the Jashanmal National Retail Group that operates across the Gulf states.
The problem with publishers is that publishers are so many and they have so many different magazines that they need a big space. And if, therefore, they're going into outlets where they're competing against other products, which has got nothing to do with reading, then you do have a problem because of the pricing issues and the space that you need. So there has to be a greater push again towards newsstands or bookshops or places which specialize in that. And why did people go away from those? Yes, there was a little less reading, but as we've seen, there's still money to be made, and the money is being made by the people who are producing print. So they should be spending some of that money to actually create those shops.
DistriPress is the key forum for those that publish magazines and newspapers to meet those that are in the business of distributing and selling them. Many of the links in this vital chain for the print industry seem to be breaking with the onset of digital rivals. What's the point of view from the distributors?
My name's Maylie Wernink. I represent Seymour International, which is a UK-based exporter of British magazines. It is a very challenging market because print is in decline. There are a handful of exceptions, and Monocle is one of them. But by and large, we're looking at the changes in the retail landscape. Often it's a case of consolidation of wholesalers, retailers closing down, so there are fewer touch points. And what can publishers and distributors really do to work together to kind of counteract that? So it's things like pricing strategies is very important, particularly with the different markets that we service. Some of them are a lot more price sensitive than others. South Africa would be the one that springs to mind. And then some other markets are more robust. So a lot of the Asian countries, because it is a declining market, we find that distributors have to be a lot more creative with what kind of promotions you do. So you see things like category promotions where rather than just promote one title, you'd promote across a range of five or six and then spread the cost among them, but you're bringing a lot more attention to the category itself, so everybody benefits. I mean, obviously you get some distributors that are more proactive than others, and you know, half of the meetings are about pushing the ones that aren't working perhaps as hard as they could be.
My name is Valentina and I'm representing Messinter Milan, Italy.
Can you tell us a little bit about what titles are doing well, which are not doing so well in Italy, in your outlets that you look after?
So on the foreign press side, you know, we have a big seasonality. So we talk about titles that are performing during the year with a stable trend, and talking about titles that during the summer month are increasing a lot. So depending on the title, on the period, and from which country they are coming from, there is a different trend. Generally speaking, we can say that we have some exception in a declining market that are represented by few titles, but very high quality titles, like for example Monocle is one of these that is performing very well since we acquired the title in January 2013, last year, and a big boost was given by the issue dedicated and devoted to Italy, Viva l'Italia. It was a very big and good idea from the publishers to do this. And the other title that is quite performing good are National Geographic, we have the American version, and The Economist.
Shoots of growth in the market for international press, at least. This in a country whose economy is in recession. So what might be holding the Italian newsstand back?
The main problem is the visibility for a title, is the space that is granted to the press. So we have to create more spaces for our titles, and we try to do this supporting the newsstands with some marketing activities. That's the only way in which we can grant a better visibility to a title. But this is paid back, because we see in terms of sales, whenever we do a promotion and grant a better display, either a pile display or a display in special racks that we produced.
I was going to say, if anyone knows the newsstand in Italy, that a bigger display would mean having to shove a lot of people out of the way. How do you do that?
No, the bigger display, it means to have at least visible a title. They are very small newsstands in Italy, so the space that can be devoted to the press is very, very limited. So we have to create a little space, but at least these titles are visible. Otherwise, the display is done that you cannot even see the cover of the title.
And now we enter the spectre of the retail battlefield in miniature that is taking place at thousands of endangered newsstands and kiosks across the world. For as much as we love a wonderful spread of print, space is money, and margins are often not covering the bills. Enter a new generation of distributors who are not going to take print decline lying down.
My name is Jean-Christophe Faré, I come from Geneva. I work for Naville Company in Switzerland. We are a subsidiary of a Lagardère Services distribution company, and we have retail and distribution activities. I'm in charge of the retail activities. Well, 10 years ago, pretty much all of our shelf space was dedicated to press. Today, it's no longer the case. And my problem, our problem, is to find the right pace, the right speed at which we have to adjust to the decline of press sales. On one hand, we want to adjust because we need to reduce the space dedicated to press because press sales are declining. But we don't want to go too quickly because we don't want to contribute to a faster decline. So our problem is to find the right balance, the right speed at which we're doing that. But I'm sure that in 5 years from now, there will still be a lot of press in our store because that's the DNA. That's what the customers are expecting us to do. That's what the landlords are expecting us to do. And that's also the mission we have towards our publishers.
Après, on a regroupé toute la presse masculine. Ça va très bien avec le tournoi.
The game project is very much trying to reverse the way the industry traditionally looks at press retail, whereby the publisher sends copies to the distributor, who will then further send a copy to the retail, and then the retailer has to try to sell what he can. With the game, we try to reverse that, and we try to start back from the customer's demand. So I have a reader in my store. What type of titles will he be interested in buying? So we use a lot of statistics, a lot of data, correlation and so on, and we try to come up with the ideal assortment for the store and not the other way around, which is usually you start from the title, from the publisher's point of view, and you're trying to determine in which stores you're going to send the title. Here we start from the store and we're asking the question, what kind of titles do I need for the store?
And in many cases, the decline of some sectors have led to refreshing instances of innovation in the business of distributing print. Something that can seem to have changed very little in more than a century.
I'm Wibke Eberhard. I'm managing director from TWI Company. And at the moment, we are looking at the top line, one of our picking systems for press distributors and press wholesalers. In the past, there were, let's say, sometimes less outlets and, of course, less titles, but with higher volumes. A good example is, for example, German Bild-Zeitung. Millions of millions were sold. Today, it's much less. And same we see for most titles. Sales and volumes are going down, but nevertheless, more and more titles are in the market. Sometimes a lot of niche titles, yeah.
So, tighter margins leading to refinements and a more efficient system. Perhaps there might even be some money to be made from selling magazines, if you do it right. Next, I spoke to a Canadian retailer who remains passionate about print.
My name is Arlene Shepherd. I'm the Vice President of Press Management at Gateway Newsstands. We are a North American retailer with stores in major Canadian and U.S. cities. Mainly Toronto and New York are the two major areas. We operate up to about 450 newsstands, some of them very small, some of them very large. So a cross-section of newsstands.
And you're quite exceptional here at the Congress in that you're a retailer and there really aren't that many of them about here. So maybe from the retailer's perspective rather than distributor's perspective or publisher's, can you tell us what you think the main challenges are for the industry? What concerns do your employees and your outlets have?
Well, probably with regards to press, because of the decline in recent years, our franchisees who own and operate their stores have a vested interest in ensuring the profitability of those stores. They aren't corporately owned, so they have to make every square inch in the store pay for itself and be profitable. Their livelihood depends on that. So with the decline of press, basically the pressure's on to cut into the space currently occupied by our press. Newspapers are probably under more attack than magazines right now because they're not high cover prices, so the margins and profitability is very low. At least magazines have higher cover prices, so the return on that investment is much higher. I would rather have all of my space filled with promotions with publishers at lesser rates than have it empty with no paying programs at full rate. So it's really the art of negotiating and finding the right rate with the publisher so they will invest in you, because nothing will happen if we don't promote magazines. They just sit on a shelf. We have to try and make them come alive at retail, and we have so many programs available, from signage to pockets to digital media. So that's the game we play.
Speaking of cover prices, we should go back to a distributor on this. Ultimately, is it them who decide how many euros or yen we hand over to the kiosk, or is it the publisher? Back to May Lee Wernick of Seymour.
Pricing can sometimes feel like a tug of war.
Is it you, the distributor, encouraging them to put it up because there's more of a margin to be made? Is that how it goes?
Often it's the distributor saying that they want prices to come down. I mean, export is tricky because there are a lot of factors that need to be considered. I guess a lot of the time a reader would see the UK cover price and just convert it into their own currency and say, well, why isn't that just the price of a magazine? But of course, there's the extra printing and shipping, logistics, you know, a lot of people in the middle that we need to get it there. An overlying strategy on top of all of that is competitors as well. So a title that should be priced at, say, $12 or $13 will stay at $9.99 to stay under that $10 mark, but also that's where all their competitors are. So you can find a bit of a kind of a stalemate situation where nobody wants to be the first one to take that step and then everybody loses. But then on the flip side, you've got a title like Monocle, for example, which aims for a very different market. This is a title that doesn't have a digital presence because they're very strongly print. And we find that it is a lot more expensive than your average import magazine, but people are willing to pay for it because the publisher is invested in the product and, you know, people really value that.
I'm just kind of being devil's advocate here, but we're on the stack, we often have reviewers, and they'll mention the price of, you know, the cover price. It's an important part of the whole magazine experience, obviously. Are you a believer in that, the kind of theory that if you price something up, it just makes it more innately more valuable and that might attract more people than would it have been a little bit cheaper?
I think that the price has to match the product.
As well as the value and ultimate cost of a magazine, the mood here at DistriPress in Cannes is that the industry needs to revalue itself. According to some, change in the market is no reason to mark down the value of good print.
Those are the sounds of the DistriPress Annual Congress in Cannes, where our David Pleasant was bringing us a special report for the Stack here on Monocle 24. We'll be going back to the south of France right after this.
You're listening to Monocle 24, broadcasting from Midori House at 1 Dorset Street, London, W1. Monocle 24 is a wholly owned subsidiary of Wynn Content and is edited by Tyler Brulé and Andrew Tuck. With bureaus in Tokyo, Hong Kong, Zurich and New York, Monocle 24 has over 50 editors and correspondents filing for us around the clock. If you have any editorial, distribution or advertising queries, please email us at info@monocle.com. Monocle, keeping an eye and an ear on the world.
You're back with the Stack here on Monocle 24. I'm Tyler Brulé. Just before the break, we heard from our very own David Pleasant, who is at the DistriPress conference in Cannes. I think it's time to head back to meet him again on the shores of the Mediterranean.
I'm David Owen. Good morning. I'm the Managing Director of DistriPress. I do worry that we are talking ourselves into retail reduction as the retailers make plans as they should do for the future. We saw on the other side some quite positive things coming out yesterday. People saying, well, actually, the new magazine launches are higher than they've ever been. Some of the magazines that you can see, the major magazines like Vogue and so on, had the biggest print editions ever. And we can see very strong brands like Monocle all doing very well in print. So I do believe that a certain amount of optimism is required here to also, not just for ourselves, but for our partners like the retailers. And then perhaps we won't get this erosion in retail space.
My name is Olga. I'm representing Lehepunkt and we're from Estonia. Print is profitable and what we are focusing on this year is efficiency. So our best knowledge about sales of exact places, exact type of POS, this is what we are using to promote, to increase, to support the sales. So last year we managed to keep the sales from dropping. And this year's target is actually the same. So this is what brings profit, efficiency of our work.
Diligent distributors and retailers that are happy to provide. But it seems that publishers too need to connect with the industry in a more engaging way. Overinvestment in digital tangents of their core product has not led to any profit, while many newsagents have been squeezed out. Finally, let's go back to DistriPress president Tony Jashanmal.
In our field, we've got to have people who will explain to you what this is and why you need it.
If someone has a kiosk or a small shop, you think they should know what they're selling, talk to their customer, talk to the clientele and more, and on the outlet level, on the shop front level.
Sure. You need somebody to come and tell you what is so great about the product. Tell your staff who's selling it. Encourage them. Take time for them. Take a day off for their training. This is what we lost in this field.
It's you can't expect a newsagent to know the inside of all his papers and each article, each writer. It's impossible, but maybe a feeling for them.
Exactly. A feeling for them, a feeling for what is it that you're trying to convey with that. What is the philosophy behind this particular magazine or whatever? How do you recognize the type of customer who actually reads this? He's a different type of people have a different way of being informed. How do you inform this person? The circulation people who know much more about what's happening in the market don't seem to have that much of an influence on the publisher.
Which is strange because you'd think that the publisher would be in the circulation business's kind of lap. They'd want to impress them in any way they could to get their product out there. Why are they not talking?
Basically, as far as I was concerned, it was the comfort of so many years of having that business just go on. I am very happy that the digital has come in, that it can wake people up.
So publishers, distributors, everyone should wake up a little bit and smell the coffee.
Yes, and not only that, and get out of this mode of the last couple of years thinking that this is the oncoming end of print. The things that we saw yesterday, what the publishers have done, the morning session was excellent because it showed you different publishers who've taken the initiative and how much fun they're having in creating new ideas and how much fun they're having in communicating with their customer and how much they're matching their other products with this and activities. They're getting into it. They're getting closer to their customer. There's no distance, you know. You have to get close to them. You have to invest in things which will bring you close to them.
A need for the industry to work together and communicate properly, all the way down the chain, from the magazine publisher to the newsagent at the outlet. After the panic of a few years ago, the print industry, if you can call these diverse sectors that, is beginning to see that it needs to stick to what it does best, delivering its readers all the print they want in an efficient and customised way. It should also be using much more of its resources to provide for that choice, that moment of perusal and discovery that we all love. The alternative is probably the disappearance of the newsstand altogether. For Monocle, in Cannes, I'm David Pleasant.
And if by magic, David Pleasant is back from the south of France, still with a little bit of a glow as well. And I'm also joined by our editor, Andrew Tuck, who, of course, was weighing in on the discussion last week with our creative director, Richard Spencer-Powell. So, gentlemen, our campaign to save the newsstand continues. key messages, key things that you walked away from Cannes with David. What was the sense when you got on the flight, you got to the Côte d'Azur airport? What were you thinking, that some people have it right, or that maybe there's a little bit of a Mediterranean wind in people's sails?
I think that the message that I got was remarkably positive. I was expecting something, a kind of industry a little bit in the doldrums or a bit kind of backward looking. Sure, some of them perhaps just didn't know about some of the things that we take for granted when it comes to promoting print and kind of celebrating print. They're a bit stuck in that print is dead, panic stations kind of mentality. But that seems a bit 2 years ago now. They're a bit more kind of convinced that actually certain types of print are just not going anywhere and we might as well make money out of it again.
I mean, Andrews, oftentimes we're trying to solve these things with new marketing campaigns, or it's better lighting, or we'd argue for better shelving in stores, etc. But I thought what was interesting, Mr. Josh Manel was, you know, was talking about also having people who are engaged with the customer, which is the most basic thing. It's something we talk about at Monocle all the time. And interesting enough, I was talking to the gentleman down the street at the newsstand here on Chiltern Street as well. And he was saying the same thing, that we need to have that dialogue over the counter. Now, I'm wondering, do you think that's something which can be institutionalized in large chains, or does that have to be the domain of the independent?
No, I'm sure it could be done in large chains. You see it done in good supermarkets. They find a way of getting their staff to explain food, to be passionate about the food that they're selling. And that's what's missing here. I thought it was great that he said, give your staff a day off for training. And you realize that we're in an industry where actually people don't even get one day in training. They're not walked through what's on the shelves. They're not told what the great magazines are. They're not told what's new. They're not told even the frequency of those magazines. So when you go into many of the bigger chains, you're kind of left to your own devices. If you can't find the magazine, it's unlikely they'll spot it for you. They'll certainly not recommend anything new. And I also thought it was wonderful him saying, how do you spot the type of reader that would like that magazine? Now, you don't have to be some sociologist to kind of do that. You just have to have some feeling for, you know, okay, here's somebody who likes fashion. Here's somebody who's obviously into cars.
Someone walks in with a dog. What would you do, Andrew?
Dogs today. Here's for you, sir.
David, was there one corner of the world? Because, this is a proper jamboree and you do set it up for us. But this is the big number and people are coming from every part of the publishing chain. Did anyone stand out? I mean, it's interesting. So, obviously, Mr. Joshua, this is from, a part of the world which is very dynamic, and there are obviously big players out in the Middle East. Anywhere in particular, they thought, okay, these people have got it nailed.
Well, interestingly, and I didn't think I'd say this, everyone was looking to the UK and maybe, dare I say it, Monocle. I think the kind of UK presence was given more attention than I thought would be the case, especially given that we've been criticising the newsstand in this country. But I think in terms of the publishers that are coming out and the distributors are kind of seen as something of a model. That's not to say that the retailers, some of the Swiss distributors who have a kiosk presence and big, thousands of chains, they're looked at for kind of good practice in terms of displays. There's all sorts of tools, computerized systems for where to display and for counting the number of copies left and all those kind of tools that were there. They're not coming from the UK, but in terms of big ideas, people were interested in what's happening in Britain.
And it was interesting, you were saying as well that our own Helen Leach is our head of distribution. It's a very tough job. She's seen as something as a rock star down there as well, which is always nice to hear, about your own staff as well.
Helen's done a great job with Monocle, and it's quite a gritty job. You need to have an understanding about, what the distributor's doing. You're meeting people who, not the glamorous end of publishing. You're doing a lot of persuading and a lot of explaining.
David, great to hear that there's a sense of optimism, which is great news. But if you had to think of maybe three fixes, and I think it was interesting, just quite prescriptive, listening to the end of your piece, what has to happen still?
I do think that there needs to be more communication between the publisher and the kind of end part of the chain, the retailer. I met one retailer who looks after a big franchise of outlets in Canada, and she said she would actually love to get emails from editors even about what they're doing next. She could sort that out. If we have a Toronto special, she would make sure that all the Toronto kiosks are fully decked out in Monocle attire. I mean, she was so open to that kind of conversation, which was quite interesting. Also, perhaps a bit more kind of openness to new ideas from all those involved.
People talk about silos. I think people are a bit trapped in their own faction and their own kind of work day. They tend not to really know what's happening the other side of the fence, that too. And a third, perhaps more forums. I mean, this is the only event that is anything like what it is. And everyone said
in the whole world, exactly.
In the whole world. Yeah. And considering the importance of it, it's only a few hundred people. They all, you know, have to be there. Maybe a few more, and a few more regional events as well.
Well, it sounds like David set you a challenge, Andrew, that you have to scurry up just very quickly. Of course, the next issue is coming up very soon. I'm sure by the time many of our listeners have heard this program, our November issue is going to be hitting newsstand. But it is interesting to think that some type of provocations, and you know, we talk about ourselves, you know, we do very simple things. We show, of course, the distributor where the magazine should be placed, and it's done in a very simple diagram that comes on the top of a box. It doesn't always, of course, filter through. But it is amazing, even from our side. I mean, that idea that, yeah, maybe we should do a bit of a tour and just go out and talk to some of our major retailers.
And there's some very basic things that we do via Helen, which Helen will speak to the markets and she'll ask them. She'll tell them the stories that are in the magazine and we sticker issues. And there's those very simple things that help you connect with readers. Mm.
David Pleasant, our producer, great report. Hope you enjoyed the South of France. Our editor, Andrew Tuck, thank you very much for that. Also, thanks very much to Claire Urban, our studio manager today. As ever, if you have any comments or queries, then drop us a note to info@monocle.com. Remember, we're back next Saturday at the very same time. And of course, you can always listen again at monocle.com or via iTunes. But for now, for me, Tyler Brulé, goodbye.